Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. There is perhaps no election issue that is more emotional or on which Wisconsinites are more divided than the topic of abortion. Polls show us that Wisconsinites feel very strongly about this issue, and it divides along partisan and gender lines. Today, we have a conversation with two committed advocates on this topic, Michelle Velasquez, who's the Chief Strategy Officer for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and Gracie Skogman, who's the Legislative Director for Wisconsin Right to Life. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you. I want to start by asking both of you the same question. You are committed and strong advocates in Wisconsin on this topic. What brought you to this role? Was it a personal or a professional experience that made you decide that you wanted to advocate for, in this situation for you, reproductive rights?
Absolutely. It's a little bit of both. So I'm an attorney, and my entire legal career up until I started working for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin was always involving some sort of public justice, social justice issues, people of lower incomes, criminal defense matters. And so seeing so many personal stories and people facing incredible challenges and barriers in their lives, I really wanted to move into a space that would allow me to sort of zoom out a little bit and do some work more at the policy and bigger picture level. And so a position at Planned Parenthood Advocates and Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin was open in 2021, and that's when I started. And I have been able to continue my legal journey there, but also my very personal journey to advocate for people, their fundamental freedoms, their ability to live their lives wholly, and with, you know, as much sort of support as they can have.
Gracie, I know you're equally passionate about right to life issues. What brought you to this cause?
It's similar to Michelle. I grew up in a family that was shaped by the pro-life movement. My grandma chose life after she was raped, and that was something that we grew up hearing from her directly, hearing the struggles that she faced and the courage that it took to make that decision. And when I was in high school, one of my very dear friends became unexpectedly pregnant, and watching her navigate that journey, watching the importance of the support in her life, the pregnancy resource centers, really opened my eyes to the need that many women here in Wisconsin and nationwide face when they're making these difficult decisions. And so out of college, I worked in the Walker administration here in Wisconsin, and then I worked with faith coalitions in the Trump administration, and now I've been at Right to Life for nearly 4 years, and it's been wonderful.
So I'd like to ask you each to share your elevator speeches, your summary of, and I'll start with you, Michelle. When you are talking to somebody, what's that short message that you give them on why they should agree with you on the issue of abortion?
So I always like to first listen to people and try to really hear where their beliefs are, where their values lie, and find some common ground in values. And so very often we can find some shared values. I'm not trying to change anybody's belief system, anyone's values, but I think that more often than not, we can find some commonality. And most people would agree that they want their family, their friends, their communities to be healthy, to have the ability to make deeply personal decisions about their own lives, that they are the experts in their own lives. And so they know the circumstances of their own realities and what they need to move forward with their families. And most people will do that in consultation with their families, their faith leaders, whomever. And that those really are the only people who should be involved in that decision. And so I really try to ground conversations in that approach.
Gracie, what does your message look like when you're talking to people on this topic?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I'm encouraged to hear what Michelle said, because I think at the core, we're trying to do the same thing. We're having conversations with people. We understand this is very emotional, but our message is fundamentally that we believe that women and girls in Wisconsin and nationwide deserve to have the support necessary to choose life. And we see so many cases, whether it's high school girls or women who are facing things like housing insecurity, healthcare insecurity. They want to carry pregnancies to term in many cases, but there's so many needs that need to be filled. And that's where we at Wisconsin Right to Life are really passionate about stepping in to those situations and supporting them. And ultimately, our goal is to change hearts and minds to favor life. But we understand that there are many people that maybe favor a, you know, protection for life at 15 weeks, or maybe it's pain capable at 20. We understand that, and we welcome conversations with, you know, all individuals on the spectrum of this issue.
So I'd like to review where Wisconsinites are generally at on this issue by looking at the most recent Marquette Law School poll results. In the Marquette Law School poll's July survey of Wisconsin registered voters, 2/3 of respondents say abortion should be legal in all or most cases, and 1/3 say it should be illegal in all or most cases. Polling data shows this has changed very little since Roe v. Wade was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court in June 2022. The slide that folks are looking at shows that 2/3 support for abortion access going back 6 polling cycles for the Marquette Law School poll. Gracie, I'll start with you. What do you think those poll results tell us?
It tells us that as pro-life advocates, we have so much work to do. And ultimately, we now more than ever are reminded that policy and politicians don't determine the importance of our conversation. And we have to have conversations with voters. We have to be the ones trying to change hearts and minds. We understand this is emotional, and that's why this election cycle, we have launched a new initiative where we're talking directly to voters. And not telling them who to vote for, but asking them how they feel on this issue. And it's very common for us to speak with people who initially tell us, I'm in favor of abortion. But then as we continue the conversation, we find out that maybe they're uncomfortable when there's a heartbeat, or maybe they're uncomfortable with late-term abortion. And that's where we see our avenue to continue the conversation.
Michelle, what do you see in those poll results?
So in those results, I see that the majority of people in this state care about their neighbors, their communities, their friends and family, that they want them to be healthy, that they want them to be able to shape the course of their own lives, that they know their circumstances better than any politician could, or anybody else for that matter, could know their life. You know, to the extent that people maybe come, you know, uncomfortable with abortion at certain gestational limits or under certain circumstances, I think, you know, those are opportunities as well to have conversations about what restrictions and bans ultimately do. Restrictions and abortion bans don't result in less abortions. They make abortion less safe. They make less access to sexual and reproductive health care. And so if folks want to ensure that their communities and their friends and families have access to health care, that they have all of the resources they need to support their life's decisions, whether that's to become a parent or not become a parent, then we really ought to be talking about the types of policies that do result in fewer abortions.
That poll also reveals a gender gap on this issue when looking at men versus women. Abortion is the second most important issue for women in this poll. It's the top issue for 22% of women who are surveyed. For men, it's the fifth most important issue and the top issue for just 8%. Do you have thoughts on that gender difference?
Again, I think that that's a powerful message to us that we need to be leading the conversation and talking about the fact that for us, being pro-life means being pro-women. It means protecting girls and women who are in these heartbreaking situations. And I think it's really powerful that in a post-Roe Wisconsin, at Wisconsin Right to Life, we've met countless women who have their children here today because of the overturning of Roe. So we've heard these firsthand accounts of women who tell us, for example, I had an appointment at Planned Parenthood that was canceled and instead walked through the doors of a pregnancy resource center. And many of these women have had abortions in the past. That's part of their story. But now they have their children here today because of the changing situation. And because we believe that these laws do save lives, we've met many of these lives, and we want to advocate for those children and those women.
What are you hearing from women across Wisconsin?
We have talked to many, many women across Wisconsin, both before and after Dobbs. I think there's a lot of fear. There's uncertainty about what access to healthcare might look like for them if they experience problems in pregnancies, desired pregnancies. Pregnancy is not the same for every single person. There's just, it's such an unknown. There's so many things that could go wrong. And I think women are scared about what that might look like, not just for themselves, but for their children. And it's not just women who are concerned. Men are concerned as well, although I appreciate the poll showing that there is a gap in gender, which I think does reveal a need to have continued conversation about where people who can't become pregnant fit into this mix, because we all know and love somebody who has been pregnant, who could become pregnant, or who has had an abortion. And so just really continuing to have those conversations, in my mind, is really key to all of this. But I certainly do a lot of talking with people around the state and in different communities, and this this issue is extremely important to them, and they are very concerned.
The topic of abortion was a key discussion point in last week's debate between former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm assuming you both either watched the debate or saw the debrief of the debate. Gracie, I'll start with you. Former President Trump has had a shifting position on abortion over the years. Mm-hmm. And during the debate, he said he would not sign a national abortion ban. Your thoughts on that?
Well, we understand that this has been returned to the states. And again, I think the most important thing from the perspective of Wisconsin Right to Life is continuing to have conversations to change hearts and minds. And that happens regardless of what laws look like here in Wisconsin or nationwide. But with that said, we appreciate President Trump's record on life, and we appreciate that he's making the contrast between Vice President Harris, who is in support of abortion even in late-term situations. We see that as something that most voters do not support. The polls have shown that. So I think it's important that he makes the contrast, and also that we are able to have these conversations in each state legislature.
Michelle, former President Trump did accuse Vice President Harris of supporting abortion in, as his words, in the seventh month, the eighth month, the ninth month, up through birth. Does her position on abortion leave the door open to very late-term abortions that most Americans say they don't support?
I think that we first have to take a step back and talk about that term, late-term abortion, which I think is not actually a real thing. I think it is a phrase that has been used to sort of conjure up this idea that women are knocking on their physician's door at the very, very end of a pregnancy and saying that they no longer wish to be pregnant. And that just simply doesn't happen. I think, frankly, it's an offensive way to categorize what are often extremely traumatic experiences at later stages of gestation where something has gone terribly wrong and there's an emergency. Former President Trump also talked about abortion after birth. That is absolutely not a real thing. That is murder. That is specifically infanticide. And there are state laws in every single state in this country that would make that illegal. I think folks sometimes ignore that physicians have their own professional codes of ethics and standards that they would absolutely practice, that people do not take these decisions lightly. The vast, vast majority of abortions occur in the first trimester, and the restrictions and the difficulty in obtaining abortion accounts for many of those sort of abortions that happen maybe after 12 weeks, 13, 14 weeks, 15 weeks. It's because people don't have access to the care that they need when they've made that decision.
The debate also touched on the topic of IVF, in vitro fertilization. Former President Trump has announced a plan that would include expanding access to IVF and funding for IVF treatment. I know, Gracie, your organization is opposed to the destruction of embryos. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the former President Trump's position on IVF mm-hmm. expansion?
You know, our position is that we want to protect and defend all life. So, of course, we have concerns, ethical concerns, with the process of IVF and what that looks like. But we see this being an educational issue at this point, where we're talking to voters, talking to people about what that looks like. We understand that this is perhaps the most personal part of this discussion. And again, we appreciate President Trump making the contrast between his pro-family policies and his opposition to late-term abortion. So we appreciate that policy coming from him.
Reproductive rights advocates have criticized former President Trump for this position on IVF, saying it's contradictory. Why would you perhaps call it contradictory?
It's contradictory because so much of the anti-abortion movement's plans involve personhood, fetal personhood. IVF would be incompatible with fetal personhood, because fetal personhood would do just that. It would confer constitutional rights to an embryo, to a fetus, to an unborn. And so you can't really have both of those things.
Does Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin support an expanded access to IVF?
Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin supports all reproductive health care and freedoms, because the decision whether or not to become a parent and how you take that journey is entirely personal to that person. So absolutely.
I know that reproductive rights advocates have been trying to tie former President Trump to something called Project 2025, which was authored by the Conservative Heritage Foundation, also parts of it authored by former Trump administration officials. Parts of that plan talk about banning chemical abortion drugs and prohibiting federal funding for abortion access, among other things. Gracie, do you have thoughts mm-hmm. on Project 2025? Is the life agenda in that document something that you support?
Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing to start with is President Trump and many other candidates who are running for federal office have stated that this is not their position. They've made their own positions clear through their campaign. So in regards to President Trump or any other candidate, I would defer to their own policy statements on where they stand. With that said, there's certainly parts of the agenda that the pro-life movement can appreciate, and Wisconsin Rights Life could share some of those goals. But ultimately, we agree with the sentiments of President Trump that he stated in the debate and in other places where he's talked about this is fundamentally an issue that we are addressing at the state level. Of course, we would love to see all human life protected in all cases. But right now, we believe that Wisconsin is the front lines for Wisconsin Right to Life, and it probably looks similar for other Right to Life organizations across the country.
Former President Trump has disavowed any connection to Project 2025. Do you still see that plan as a threat?
Absolutely. I think that plan is outlining sort of the playbook and the agenda for reproductive freedoms in this country. Former President Trump has also, frankly, bragged about appointing particular justices to the United States Supreme Court, specifically to overturn Roe versus Wade. We have seen lawsuits that challenge the FDA's approval of mifepristone, the abortion medication, which, if restricted, could upend abortion, medication abortion access, even in states that have chosen to protect access to abortion. And so I think that sort of framing this as, well, this is just simply a return to states' rights is incorrect.
Let's talk about where Wisconsin is currently on abortion policy. Wisconsin abortion providers ceased providing abortion services for almost a year after Roe was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. Then last year, after a Dane County ruling, Planned Parenthood continued or resumed abortion services. Wisconsin currently has a 20-week time frame to obtain an abortion. We've been asking all state candidates this same question. I'm going to ask both of you. I'll start with you, Michelle. How should Wisconsin move forward on abortion policy?
I think Wisconsin needs to move forward the way that the polling is showing, which is that we should not have restrictions for abortion, we should not have an abortion ban, and that we should take affirmative measures to protect access to abortion and then expand that access. Even prior to Roe being overturned, Wisconsin is considered one of the most severely restricted states in this country. And so I think that that poll clearly shows that people are in favor of abortion access in Wisconsin.
Gracie, how should Wisconsin move forward on abortion?
Well, we know that we have to wait on the decision from the court and go from there. And
the state Supreme Court, we're exactly going to talk about those cases.
So we have to wait on that decision and see the outcome of the election. And ultimately, the people of Wisconsin will speak through who they elect into the state legislature. So that will inform what we're able to do. But I think from our perspective, we have to bring the conversation back to women and girls in Wisconsin who are suffering in challenging situations. The pregnancy resource centers in our state continue to see their highest numbers ever of women who are coming in, and many of them do want to choose life, but they're in very challenging circumstances with healthcare, housing insecurity. There's a real need there to step in and provide those services, and Wisconsin Right to Life worked on legislation last session to hopefully address that, and we hope to do that again because those problems remain regardless of what happens with the law, and we fundamentally believe that women deserve that support and those resources.
You mentioned the court cases. There are currently two court cases. I know that Wisconsin Right to Life is listed as an interested party in mm-hmm. those cases before the state Supreme Court, as is Planned Parenthood. Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is acting on your behalf in those mm-hmm. cases. And in a brief that they filed, it says that any claim that there is a constitutional right to abortion in Wisconsin is meritless, and that abortion has always been prohibited under Wisconsin's constitution. Gracie, what do you think is at stake in that case before mm-hmm. the court?
Well, I think in many ways this is similar to what we saw play out on a national level in the conversation of Roe v. Wade. Fundamentally, there's this misunderstanding that there ever was a so-called right to abortion in our federal constitution, and it's similar in our state constitution. We believe there is no right to abortion. There's right to life, and that extends to all people, that extends to preborn children as well. So that's our belief here in Wisconsin, and it's very similar to the arguments that we saw with the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
What do you see as at stake in these cases before the court?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, there are two cases, and Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin is the plaintiff in the original action that was accepted earlier this summer by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, making those constitutional arguments. And really what's at stake is bodily autonomy and democracy. I do not believe that you can have a democracy without bodily autonomy. That means that people have that fundamental right to choose what they want to do with their body, what they want to do with their life, and you cannot have a functioning democracy in a situation where the government is restricting exactly what sort of life choices you can make, particularly life choices that relate to whether or not to have children and to become a parent.
Abortion's not only a key issue in Wisconsin. It's actually on the ballot in 10 states across the country this November. Most of those ballot questions would amend state constitutions to establish a right to abortion, as was available under Roe v. Wade. Will either of you be watching what's happening in other states? And I'll start with you, Michelle. Do you think that will have any impact on what happens in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. I'll be watching to see what happens in those states. I think the main takeaway from that is when abortion is on the ballot, when people are deciding whether or not their state should protect someone's bodily autonomy, abortion access wins. And I think that's a really powerful message for everybody, including people here in Wisconsin. And it certainly has raised the question from people I talk to about why can't Wisconsin put something on the ballot so we can make sure that our state guarantees this. And then, of course, I explain sort of how that happens. And so people are connecting the dots with, okay, this is the process. Who I vote for matters if this is important to me. So I think it sends a really powerful message.
Will you be watching the 10 states, and what impact do you think it might have in Wisconsin?
Absolutely, and we agree. I think this conversation will likely come to Wisconsin. Of course, we are concerned. If you look in the case of, say, for example, a state like Florida, if passed, these would leave preborn children with no protection throughout pregnancy, and that's very concerning to us. We believe it's so important that not only are there protections for life, but also protections for women. And something that we've seen is with the rise of chemical abortions, we see more and more women, and specifically young girls, oftentimes high school age girls, who have taken these pills. They've been deeply traumatized. Some of them have adverse health incidents afterwards. And it's the pro-life groups, it's the pregnancy resource centers oftentimes who hear these stories and help them navigate through those situations. So we would, of course, always advocate for protections for life, but also protections for women and girls so that they have full informed consent and understand the negative impacts of something like chemical abortion.
I'd like to ask you both, as you look forward to next year, it's a biennial budget year, a new legislative session. What will your advocacy look like in the state capitol, Gracie?
Most important for us is advocating for funding for pregnancy resource centers. As I mentioned earlier, they continue to see a massive increase in clients who are coming in. There's a need for maternity homes. There's a need for medical support for these women. So that would be one of our top priorities.
What about for Planned Parenthood advocates?
So I think for Planned Parenthood advocates, there are a few priorities. Certainly expansion of sexual and reproductive health care, the full spectrum, including abortion, is always on the table, always a priority. But we also think about some of those other priorities. Earlier I mentioned that if we really wanted to talk about reducing the number of abortions, the instances in which somebody has to make that decision, that will always exist. We want to also prioritize policies that will really help people and support them in their decisions. So if somebody is choosing to become a parent, do they have access to affordable childcare? Do they have access to education? Is there comprehensive sex education that's medically accurate? Access to contraception? All of these things, maternity leave, paternity leave, all of these things that are needed to support people to be healthy throughout their entire lifespan and as they are raising their families.
I have a final question for both of you. As we sat here today talking, I'm wondering where you both see the areas of agreement between groups. What would you say, Gracie?
I think Michelle laid out in her last answer that there are places where we can find agreement. I think that we both understand that women in our state need support, and we want to be able to come alongside them and provide them that support. Of course, where we would differ is we also want to provide protection to preborn children in that situation. But ultimately, I think we can see solutions that could be bipartisan, and I hope that we do.
What do you think, Michelle?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if there is a shared interest and value in ensuring that people have access to health care, that they have the supportive support that they need to raise their children and live in healthy and sustainable neighborhoods, then we can agree on some policies that would get us there. Expansion of Medicaid, for example, expansion of postpartum care, making sure that people have access to, as I said, sex education or maternity leave, paid paternity leave. Those are the sorts of supports that people will need as they are making their decisions about whether to become a parent, and if so, when.
Well, thank you both for the conversation today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.